You have proved for yourself that death, which is feared by so many people in the world, is a mere passing from one state of consciousness to another, and that this passing should never be dreaded by anyone, even though it is sometimes preceded by a certain amount of physical pain. You are aware that the inequalities of life are not caused through a divine creator favoring some and not others, but that the inequalities are due to the different stages at which men stand at the moment on their journey towards perfection, or are produced by unwise actions on the part of such individuals in their past lives. I am sure you now realize that no work you do at this level is ever wasted, for at the end of each incarnation you carry your sheaves with you, to become part of the permanent atom, which is your reservoir of knowledge. After I leave you today, you will once more be the sole arbiter, authority of your destiny. I hope that you will continue to follow up the link that has been remade between you and Daphne, for you can help her in many things and she can help you. You are both destined to work together in a future life, and the more you come to understand each other now, the more progress will be made when the time comes for you to live your lives together under physical plane conditions. It is just possible that before you pass over to the next world you may come across someone living at this level to whom you may feel attracted, and whom you may even want to marry. If this does happen, explain to Daphne what you contemplate doing, for deception has its repercussions, even in a case where one person is living in the astral world and the other in the physical world. Deception is always unwise, for it creates difficulties, which may take lives to eradicate completely. I do not think you will find that Charles will trouble you much more. As you happen to be an older ego than he is, it would be difficult for him to follow you along the road that you imagine to be the most suitable for him. But you can still help him, and you will probably link up with him in a future life, as love creates a very strong link. Do not forget the responsibilities you have taken upon yourself with Mary, for although I do not think that they will be in any way arduous, yet they must not be neglected, for you accepted the opportunity. The astral helper whom you call Jim can be of great use to you and you to him, so cultivate his friendship whenever the opportunity offers. Remember that the knowledge, which has been given to you, has not been given for your use solely. You have a responsibility to others less fortunate than yourself, and to sincerely trust that you will never forget this. All true knowledge should be shared, not kept for the special benefit of the possessor, and I can assure you that you will not only be the happier for sharing your knowledge with others, but they also will benefit from your assistance. You may find that many to whom you offer this bread of knowledge do not wish to eat it. Such people are not yet ready for the knowledge you offer, but that should not stop you from giving them the opportunity of listening to what you have to say. It is now time for me to bid you farewell. This does not mean that we shall never meet again, for the link that has been made between us during these last weeks will have its inevitable result. A link once made is seldom entirely broken. After I leave you, I shall no longer know what you are doing, as I have been permitted to know during this short period in order to help me with your tuition, but I have no doubt that the progress you have made will be maintained. If, in the future, you find that you need me at any time, make a very strong thought form to represent me and send out your desire for contact into the surrounding ether. I may not be in a position to answer your call immediately, but you may be very sure that I have received it, and I shall contact you as soon as the work I have on hand permits me to do so. I have greatly appreciated the understanding you have displayed on the occasions when my words have appeared to criticize you and others in the world. Believe me, that was not my intention. One of the great philosophers once said, "Whenever the pupil is ready, the master is always there." That is very true, for whatever your difficulties, you never stand entirely alone. They do not desert those who work on their behalf. Your efforts have brought you into touch with some of the great beings who endeavor to guide our footsteps along the paths most suitable for our progress. Your reaction to their help has made it possible for you to be brought into closer contact with them. They know our limitations and our difficulties. They only wait our desire to permit their help, for that assistance to be at once at our disposal. May the peace which they so patiently work for be with you and all who seek to lighten the burden of mankind. Farewell, until in God's good time we meet again. Epilogue. A month has passed since I finished transcribing the notes I made covering Acharya's last talk, and even now I find it difficult to realize that he will not be visiting me again. I had come to look forward to those daily meetings in a way I would not have believed possible 2 months ago. I am exceedingly happy to find that I can, now, remember each morning quite a lot of what I have been doing during the night, for at first I wondered if my capacity for bringing things through would disappear after the mental link I had with Acharya had been broken. A few nights ago, when I visited Daphne, I asked her about the parts I had forgotten of our visit to the Golden City. As Acharya had so rightly surmised, she remembered the incident of Christ appearing to address the gathering, as clearly as she did the rest of what we did that night. I have therefore decided that on the nights I experiment with Daphne, I shall check up with her afterwards. I have already made friends with several of the people living in the same valley as Daphne, who certainly do not seem to object to my turning up from time to time, even though at the moment I cannot become a permanent member of their community. 2 nights ago I decided to pay a visit on my own to the sixth sphere because for a long time I had felt a wish to take a trip in one of the little boats, which were moored on the banks of the lake. On arrival I found that there were 2 not in use, the third being used by a solitary voyager who had traversed nearly half the distance round the circuit. I took one of the remaining boats, and having released it from its moorings, it set its course without any effort on my part, around the lake in an anti-clockwise direction and was never more than 50 yards from the bank at any time, just as I had been told it would do. I endeavored to practice meditation and found that, although I had never had much success in the world along these lines, the conditions ruling at this level of the astral world made things much easier. I tried to impress the idea of peace upon the men who at this time are guiding the destinies of their respective nations. It seemed to me just as important for our enemies to want peace as ourselves. I may never know whether my efforts did any good, but at least I employed the power of thought, which produces such amazing results at these higher levels. At the end of about 8 hours I felt the urge to return and, without any seeming action on my part, was immediately forced to leave the boat and return to the physical plane. I have since wondered what happened to the boat, whether it is still drifting round the lake or if the current ceases to have any effect in it once its course is completed. I have seen Mary several times during the past month, for Acharya's prophesied that she would call for me again in the near future, came true within a fortnight from the last time I had seen her in hospital. I did my best to give Mary the advice she needed, and fortunately the child Irene was present during most of our discussion. She is a much more sensitive person than Mary, so I feel it is likely that she will remember much of what I said and will be able to repeat it to Mary when she wakes in the morning. I was commandeered one night by Jim, to help him with some more casualties. This work is most fascinating, and although I imagined that the procedure in dealing with cases where young men were thrown out of their bodies so abruptly would always be the same, I find that the technique varies with every individual. I am gradually learning what to do and have told Jim that he can call on me whenever they are short-handed. I feel this is another way to show my appreciation of the help that has been given me, and I welcome it as every other opportunity which comes along. I have not seen Charles again and have no means of getting in touch with him apart from sending him SOS if necessity arose. Presumably he is carrying on with his normal life in the astral world, and I sincerely hope that not only will he be happy there, but that as time goes on I shall be able to be of some assistance to him. It is interesting that the cause of my extreme misery, which culminated in the visit of Acharya, now seems to be less important to me than other links I have made. It shows how a little knowledge can change the complexion of one's outlook completely. This dual existence of mine keeps me very busy and very interested indeed. Sometimes I feel that the life I live apart from my body is indeed the real one and that my life in the world is not nearly so important. I must guard against this, Otherwise I shall become a dreamer and may lose sight of the importance of learning the lessons this life has to teach me. It is quite impossible for me to express my gratitude to the great beings who govern this planet. The whole scheme of government seems so logical that each step we take would appear to be the natural conclusion of the one before it, and it is difficult to imagine how things could be otherwise. What I cannot understand is, why the information, which has been given to me, is not more generally known in the world. I often long to see my friend Acharya, but I have fought against my desire to send out a call. What a wonderful life that man leads. I sometimes wonder whether one day I shall be able to be used for similar purposes. If my desire ever becomes a fact, I hope I shall serve the master, whomsoever he may be, as faithfully as Acharya is doing. I have not forgotten that I have been told to share any knowledge I acquire with others, and in this way show my appreciation of the help that has been given to me. I shall continue to record my experiences, and if I find that they are of interest to others, I shall certainly consider publishing a sequel. My task of recording the strange things which have happened to me during the past weeks is now completed. Whether those who read this record will accept these happenings as true or otherwise, is not my affair. I am satisfied that by recording them, my duty is done. I feel quite sure that those who have ears to hear will benefit therefrom. Let us not forget the promise given to us by the greatest of all masters when he said, "Be of good cheer, for those who guard the destinies of the whole do not sleep." End. Book was first published in South Africa under the title From the Turret by Graphic Stationers and Publishers, Durban. Copyrighted 1953 and 1958 by Peter Richelieu. First published in Great Britain, with revisions, entitled A Soul's Journey, by Turnstone Press Limited 1972. Copyrighted 1972 by Turnstone Press Limited, published by Sphere Books Limited 1977. This book is sold subject to the condition that it shall not, by way of trade or otherwise, be lent, resold, hired out or otherwise circulated without the publisher's prior consent in any form of binding or cover other than that in which it is published, and without a similar condition, including this condition, being imposed on the subsequent purchaser. Set in intertype times, printed in Great Britain by Hunt Barnard Printing Limited, Aylesbury, Bucks. Dedicated to all those who seek. As a man casts off old clothes and puts on new ones, so the embodied self, casting off old bodies, proceeds to other and newer ones. Bhagavad Gita.